You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. San Francisco's kindergarten to college program is just one of many around the country that help families save for higher education. Carl Rist is behind another one called the One-to-One Fund. It combines social networking and crowdfunding techniques to help low-income students save for college. It's through the Corporation for Enterprise Development, or CFED. Carl Rist joins us now. He's executive director of CFED's One-to-One Fund.
The movement very much is backed by research, but by strong theoretical foundations. It really comes out of work by a professor at Washington University in St. Louis named Michael Sheradin, who first had the idea that helping families to save and build assets is critical for low-income families to achieve greater self-sufficiency. So it's not just about income. It's having some assets to put behind you to invest in college or a house or a business. So this work has been going on with adults for about 20 years. But our thinking is that our goal was to build an asset building system for all Americans across the U.S. And the thought was that maybe the best way to do that is by starting with kids saving as early as possible. And the data now is powerful that shows that kids with savings in their name are 6 or 7 times more likely to go to college and complete college than kids that are like them in all other respects.
So before we delve in a little bit more into this kind of idea of children's savings accounts, which is very intriguing, can you just talk a tiny bit more about the idea behind this idea of asset building versus income? Why are assets so important?
Right. And, you know, in a lot of ways, assets and income is all money, right? But in some ways, assets work differently in the economy. So income is, you can almost think about a metaphor of water. So income is like a stream, you know, that flows. And when that stream is cut off, the water's gone, right? Assets are like a pond. It's all water. But it's a stock that is there in good times and bad. And so having some resources to shield families from tough times, but also to build on those and kind of invest in the future is really a critical way that assets work differently than income. It's also, you know, true for many families for many generations. You can pass assets on from one generation to the next. You really can't do that with income.
And that's how many of us have any assets, is that they're passed
that's
on
right.
from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And part of what you see in wealth disparities is that a lot of low-income people never had any wealth to have been passed on, either because they were immigrants who came to this country without any assets, or because they were enslaved, for example, or locked out of the possibility of having assets through some discriminatory practices.
That's right. And it's very much a story of not a pretty story in America, of how some families were encouraged to build assets through the Homestead Act, for example, but others were not encouraged, in fact, discouraged and even kind of prevented from building assets. So in the Jim Crow South, families couldn't even own businesses. Redlining laws kept families, African-American families, from moving to the suburbs when families were building wealth in suburban homes.
And where you could get a home loan.
Exactly. So for all these reasons, we really discriminated against some Americans, sadly, and helped others to build wealth.
So that's one of the things that this kindergarten to college and the children's savings accounts are trying to get at, is some of those wealth disparities. So can you talk about some of these kindergarten to college programs? We just heard about the one in San Francisco. Where else is this happening around the country? What are other models that you're looking at?
Yeah, so San Francisco is certainly the granddaddy of them all. The first one, and very much the leader in the country right now, an amazing program to enroll all kids in San Francisco public schools that we're so excited about and so proud of. There's also interest in communities like actually Cuyahoga County, which surrounds Cleveland, in doing this in a similar way. There's interest in the state of Colorado in doing this for large numbers of kids in the Human Services Program, foster youth, and others. There's also actually a new program just kicked off a couple months ago in the state of Nevada, supported by the state treasurer, called the Kickstart Program. In 13 counties now, 13 rural counties, the treasurer will set up automatically 529 college savings accounts for kids in those 13 counties. So this is a growing movement. There's also a lot of smaller community groups that are thinking about this idea. But as people view the data, as they see some of the practice and some of the examples like San Francisco, this thing is really catching on.
It's catching on, but I think it's still unknown for a lot of people. That's one of the things that we noticed in doing this report about San Francisco, is that a lot of families still really haven't heard about it. Or one of the gentlemen that we interviewed kind of said, oh, this is free money. This is amazing. But not everybody had heard about it. Is that an issue, kind of getting the word out about how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. Marketing is a big part of this, just getting the word out to families. You know, one of the real brilliant ideas here in San Francisco was enrolling all kids in this. And so not only is there communication going going out to the treasurer and to the city and through the schools, but also word of mouth from families really starts to affect this. So this is very much a new effort. Certainly, we're not a great nation of savers, and so some of the marketing around this is really critical to help share with families the importance of saving and how this can really change the odds for the next generation.
And tell us about the SEED project and what it showed about children's savings accounts and their usefulness and how people can save even if they're very low income. And you might think, well, this is a family that doesn't even have a $10 to spare at the end of the month.
Yeah, so we with support from some major foundations around the country, including the Ford Foundation, did a six-year demonstration in 13 different sites, including here in San Francisco. And we're working with different kids of different ages and different backgrounds. But 90% of these kids were low-income defined. And we found that they not only could save but would save with their family support. The average savings was about $30 a quarter or about $10 a month, which may not sound like a lot. But when you think that right now the data shows that about only 40% of parents with dependent children across this country are saving for their college future. So showing that we can have the low-income kids could and would save, again, with their parents' support and would save in dollar amounts that over time would grow and could make a difference was very powerful.
And like you say, that there's this psychological impact of just doing this that may be even greater than the money that's
saved. That's right. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I remember at some point my mother pulling out the file cabinet and showing me this account and said, look, this is money we inherited from Uncle Bob when he died. This is his life insurance plan. And now we're saving this money for your college. So even then, as a small kid, I knew that if I did well in school and sort of played by the rules, if you will, that there was that money behind me that could make college possible.
And so what do you say to a skeptic that might be saying, you know, we're in this time of tight government budgets, cuts to public services are happening all the time. So why should you and I be spending money on things like subsidizing a children's savings account?
Yeah, we've heard that argument. The truth is we're really trying to talk about investing in the next generation. And if we don't do this, I mean, this is the next generation of kids that are going to work, build our cities and be our workforce, the ones who will pay Social Security when we retire, right? So having a next generation that is skilled, that has important skills, that can really succeed in the workforce is important, and that will avoid, falling into traps like, prison or any kind of social ills. So it's certainly a way that we can strengthen our communities.